Chapter 1. The Beginning. They were not railway children to begin with. They were ordinary city children who lived with their mother and father in an ordinary city house. There were three of them. Roberta, whose nickname was Bobby, was the eldest. Next came Peter, who wanted to be an engineer when he grew up, and the youngest was Phyllis. They had a perfect loving mother who helped them with their homework and played with them. Besides this, she used to write clever stories for them and make up funny poems for their birthdays. Father was never cross, never unfair, and always ready to play. They were all extremely happy until one terrible day. That terrible day came without warning. Peter had celebrated his 10th birthday. He got a bright red model train engine, which he had great fun playing with until it broke. Peter was terribly disappointed, but Mother said she was sure Father could repair it. After dinner, Peter showed Father the broken engine. Father said it would be easy to fix and promised to work on it over the weekend. He started telling a story about a toy he had as a boy when he was interrupted by a knock at the front door. It was two large gentlemen with serious expressions. Father went to talk with the gentleman in the library. During their discussion, his voice sounded louder and different from the voice he generally used with visitors. After a while, Mother went into the library and there was more talking. Then the children heard boots go out and down the steps and the front door shut. Mother came in. Her face was as white as a sheet. "It's time for bed," she said. "Father had to go away on business." The children kissed Mother goodnight. Roberta went last. As she hugged her mother, she whispered, "Is anyone dead, or?"
"Nobody's dead, no," said Mother. "I can't tell you anything tonight, darling. Go, dear. Go now."
When they came down to breakfast the next morning, Mother was out. The children were convinced something terrible had happened. The children came home for lunch at 1 o'clock, but Mother was not there. And she was not there at tea time either. She came home at nearly 7, looking ill and tired. After she had a cup of tea, Mother said, "Now, my darlings, those men last night brought very bad news, and Father will be away for some time. I am very concerned about it, and I need you all to help me."
"Of course," said Roberta, holding Mother's hand.
"You can help me very much," said Mother, "by being good and happy and not fighting."
"We won't fight, we promise," said everybody.
And they meant it, too.
"And," Mother went on, "you must promise not to ask me any questions about this trouble. You don't need to know anything about it because it's about Daddy's business. And don't worry, it'll all come right in the end."
"Then don't you worry either, Mother," said Phyllis, "and we'll all be as good as gold."
Mother sighed and kissed them, and the three children went upstairs to bed. Everything was awful for the next few weeks. Mother was nearly always out and had no time to spend with them. Mother came down one morning to breakfast, very pale and with lines on her face that used not to be there. And she smiled weakly and said they were going to go and live in the country. A week of packing followed, clothes, chairs, tables, and even beds. They packed boxes of dishes, blankets, rugs, and pots as well. A truck came to take away the boxes. The following day, they packed a few more boxes, and another truck came to take them and the boxes to the station. After a long train ride, they stood on a freezing cold station platform while their baggage was unloaded. Then the train pulled away. The children watched the train disappear into the darkness. This was the first train the children saw on that railway, which would soon become the center of their new life. They walked up a dark and muddy path until they saw a dark shape in the distance.
"There's our new home," said Mother.
There was no light in any of the windows. Mother unlocked the door and they all went inside.
Mother lit a candle, whose light revealed a large kitchen with a stone floor. There were no curtains or rug. The kitchen table from home stood in the middle of the room. It looked thoroughly miserable and unwelcoming.
"Oh, dear," said Phyllis emotionally. "I wish we hadn't come."
"Don't be silly," said Mother. "Let's have supper. Peter, hold the candle while I open this case." Mother found several candles and gave them to the girls to light. Then, when the dining room was lit by 14 candles, Roberta got some coal and wood from the cellar and lit a fire.
"That's better," cried Mother, coming in with a tray full of things.
"Here are some things I brought from our old house." On the table, she set out a delicious feast of cookies, some canned fish, dried fruit, and jam. Everyone was very, very tired, but everyone cheered up at the sight of the funny and delightful supper. After eating, they all went to bed.